Welcome to the show. It's the Suicide Pact Podcast. Welcome to the show. We're still alive for some reason. Ian, please help.
Well, we're here.
We did it. We made it. Mm-hmm. We made it another week.
Feels like an hour.
Yeah, I know.
I was thinking about the last stuff we talked about, you know.
What did we talk about last week?
I forget now.
I can't remember a single thing. Politics, probably.
Oh, the guy, Army Hammer, eating people.
Oh, yeah. Man, it feels like it's been years since Army Hammer ate someone.
I wrote down stuff to talk about.
Wait, a follow-up on Army Hammer. I read all these people keep coming out of the woodwork now. There are multiple instances of him asking women to surgically have their ribs removed so that he could barbecue them and eat them.
That's a myth, right? You can't like have a rib removed, can you? Or can you?
I didn't. What's his pants do it?
No, that's a, like I said, that's a myth.
Okay.
Like to suck your own dick or whatever? Marilyn Manson?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
Are we sure?
Who had to get their stomach pumped for cum? From cum.
Wait, what?
From having had too much cum.
Jenna Jameson?
No, it was Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart had too much cum and had to have
you his never heard this? Pumped. No, it's not real. It's like there are like a series of, you know,
it's
urban
like
legends.
Richard Gere and the Gerbil.
Right.
Which
that one's real.
Okay. I think Rod Stewart probably had a lot of cum.
Could you imagine drinking so much cum you had to have your stomach pumped?
No, I can't.
Like what? Like it would be
like
it would just be because it's too much liquid, I guess. I don't
why
know.
Why wouldn't you just throw up? It's not like it's toxic or is it?
I don't know. Probably because it's made up.
Okay. Okay. Fine. And what's her name? Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas did not choke on a ham sandwich. That's just like the cruelest lie of all time. Yeah. People were just like, what did she choke on a ham sandwich?
And no, it was pastrami. Yeah, thank you very much.
It was like an aneurysm or something. They're just fucking cruel. I don't know what it actually was. Maybe she did. I don't know.
Yeah. Worst things have happened in the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, yeah.
That's
they're
a fraught
all, they're
group.
They're all fucking their children. I wish that
not
one
all
was
of them.
A myth.
Yeah. Mama Cass wasn't fucking her kids.
That's true. The guy one, the papa.
Mm-hmm.
Phillips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, weird. His name, he went by Papa.
Yeah, Papa Phillips.
I was listening to some comedian in some podcast talk about how like he took his kids to Disney World and they're playing the Mamas and the Papas. And it was right around the time of the scandal. And it's like, maybe hold off. This was the bit. Why don't you kind of enjoy an afternoon with my daughter without thinking about fucking her or something like that?
Whose bit is this?
Whoopi Goldberg. I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
We were just listening to a bad podcast. That's how we like to pass the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started a podcast during this coronavirus deal.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
This is what people do. You know, they start a bad podcast. And then they call in all their famous friends and they interview them. And then they go on, then they just trade interviews with other people. And then they create a following. But we can't tolerate being in the room with anybody else. So we can't do that. You know what I mean? Also, like, people go on these podcasts and they say stuff like, you know, love yourself and shit. And we'd be like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't. Know? Maybe there's a reason why you shouldn't love yourself.
Right. We're the dark side of the podcasting.
What's the opposite of self-care?
Self-harm.
Self-harm. Yeah. This is a self-harm podcast. This is where we teach you how to drink so much cum, you die.
Yeah.
How do you even...
I'm drinking cum on microphone.
Yeah, I hate that you keep drinking cum out of a mug on mic. It's bugging me.
It's a big mug that says cum on it. It's got to exist. That's a problem with stuff these days, you know?
Yeah, imagine being a boss and you're like, Johnson, come into my office. And you're sipping out of a mug that says, this mug is full of cum.
Yeah.
That's a power move.
It is. Slurping it. With a crazy straw.
Self-harm podcast. Okay, we got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... Do you think like 100 people were jerking off into his mouth?
Yeah, that's what I think. I guess that's the implication, that he was sucked so many cocks,
but
that
then
he was so full up of cum that he had to get, you know, he had to get like juiced like the in Willy Wonka with the giant, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
I actually have not seen any of the iterations of not Charlie and the Depp Chocolate one? Factory. I'm not a big Johnny Depp.
Did you know in the
gal.
Book that Charlie was black?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't read the book either.
And when he goes to the chocolate factory, the Oompa Loompas are also all black. They're like slaves, right? So it's like a book about race.
Is this
but
true?
Then when, yeah. So, but when they made the movie, they're like, no, just take all the like deeper meaning out of it and make it about, you know, a goofy, eccentric
chocolatier. Probably. I've heard that Roald Dahl, if that is how you pronounce it, because that's an insane name, was very racist. His family, like the Roald Dahl...
Is he
Dahl,
the author?
Dahl estate had to come out recently and apologize for some of the shit he said.
Huh. That's like every author
before
1995.
So maybe the stuff he had in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was not so good. And they just wanted to steer clear of that.
Okay.
Completely.
Sure. It seemed like an opportunity to when you made the everybody wants to make more diverse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When they made the new one with Johnny Depp, they should have made him black, you know?
They should have made Johnny Depp black.
They should have made Johnny Depp black.
Okay.
They made him Indian in Lone Ranger or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Power Rangers.
The Power Ranger.
He played the Black Ranger in the Power Rangers. And see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what
this podcast sounds like.
It's not just people fucking running their mouths.
Don't you love how we open by talking shit about other podcasts when we're like, boop, boop, boop.
No, this is good. This is interesting.
Okay.
That podcast we were listening to when they were just talking about their favorite sports teams, just like listing them, there was no cum discussion whatsoever in that.
That's
if they would have brought up cum, it would have been a more interesting,
I'll give you that.
Back and forth.
That is true.
I don't know why people think that they're like good at interviewing people. That's like always the assumption people make. They're like, I'll have a different guest on every week and then we'll go back and forth. It's like there's a reason why there's only like a handful of those podcasts that work, like Conan, Marc Maron, because these guys are good at what they do. It's a skill, you know?
We're
not good at it, so we don't do it.
Yeah, it's true. We've tried. We get too drunk every time.
Right.
Conan kind of just started it at the top, no matter what.
Yeah, but he'd been interviewing people forever.
I forgot about that.
When he's... right?
Forgot about his whole backstory and resume. He does have some experience.
When he started as a late night host, he was terrible at interviewing people. And they thought they thought about pulling them.
Isn't that interesting how it's a skill that you can
develop? Yeah, I think people just gloss over that fact. It's just a conversation. It's a conversation with your friends, with people you have a rapport with. But even then, you got to be relatively close. And you have to both be comfortable talking on microphone. So there's a different
Right, and if the
vibe.
Other person isn't, you have to know how to volley.
Right, exactly.
And like keep it going. You have to know... The thing that always exhausts me when Marc Maron or somebody has on is like he has to within the week have like read most of their book or watched whatever fucking movie they were just in. I would feel so stressed out all week because like homework, looming homework all week. Like I gotta watch the goddamn whoever he just had on.
Yeah, and then I think there's so many of these podcasts just like crisscross and trade each other off as guests. And they don't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, well, he did mine. I'll do his. We'll just chat, you know?
Oh,
and like, I've been on podcasts where I'm just like, I wish I had control over, you know, the publication of this podcast because I would delete it immediately because this is nothing, you know? Like, I hope, there aren't that many listeners out there anyway for this one. But like, if I hope that people don't go like, searching for other podcasts we've been on.
Please don't
because
do that.
They're sleepy and boring and just like, yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
I thought these people were, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
what you
I'm from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've been there once?
They're like, yeah. Oh, cool. No, I've heard of that town.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, no, that's near a town that I've been, that my cousin's friend owned a car dealership at. So
yeah.
Pretty much.
You've been to Wisconsin? I've actually never been to Wisconsin. Yeah, it's close, but I don't know.
They got good Bloody Marys in Wisconsin.
Yep, I would
say put a whole lobster in them.
For me, I don't. Patton Oswalt's pretty good. I'm like, yeah.
They're like, oh, I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
And then it's dead air for
right.
five straight minutes.
How'd I get started? Oh, I went to an open mic and
like that is
told jokes, and then oh yeah, you do open mics too. Oh, you want me to plug this on my podcast?
Yeah, I will never
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I wrote down some stuff, but you wrote down some stuff, too.
We probably wrote down the same stuff.
No, I wrote down just yelling about women. That's mostly what I wrote down. Those are the cliff notes.
Women, yet again.
Women have been bothering me.
Okay, at the top of my list is just the word Orwellian, which I think is from like 2 weeks ago when Donald Trump Jr. or Eric, I don't know which one's which, tweeted that the president being banned from Twitter was
Orwellian.
And then all of Twitter went, is it Orwellian?
Yeah.
It was all the same joke. And I know he sucks.
Right.
And he's a doofus, but
we live in exactly the time Orwell was warning us about. Yeah, the SpongeBob
meme. Orwellian. You know, 1984 is Orwellian.
Somebody read a book for the first time, like all that shit.
It was like,
yeah, I mean, like, fucking, there's a lot of shit in that book that kind of. I don't know if Eric or whoever Donald Trump Jr. was like nailing it, but anybody who said anything about the censorship, or I guess you can't call it censorship because it's not coming down from the government, but like, you know, what was happening, people getting booted off of Twitter and stuff. Anybody who dared to reference 1984 was became a laughingstock.
Yeah, it becomes this like dick measuring contest of like, oh really, you read a 10th grade book, good job,
right?
Have
it's like,
you
it's
read
the most appropriate book.
Proust,
yeah,
go fuck yourself. It is a little bit Orwellian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to reference something that we're all familiar with
right,
for
yeah.
once in your goddamn life on Twitter, not some random fucking theorist
yeah.
that nobody knows but you.
Right. It's mashed up with King of the Hill somehow.
I want to tweet this so bad, but I'm afraid it'll offend people that I don't mean to offend. I just want to say there's some sort of correlation between retweeting King of the Hill screen grabs and being someone who sucks so fucking
yeah.
bad.
It's terrible because King of the Hill was a good show. I watched every single episode of King of the Hill when
yeah.
it was on. But now, you know what it is? Because it's that perfect thing that hipsters love. It's like, it's good,
mm-hmm.
but it's also got this dusting of irony to it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like an old,
like, can you believe?
Kitschy kind of thing at this point.
Yeah.
And, or I don't even know. It's visceral. You know what I mean? You can feel it. You
yeah,
can
of
feel
course.
How it appeals to, you know, hipsters. Even the color palette is something they
right.
would like, you know?
Yes. It's like muted browns and green. And,
yeah. And it, they do like out of context King of Hill. So it's not even King of the Hill. It's not even like a full joke. It'll just be Bobby saying three words
yeah.
in the caption. The closed caption.
And then all you have to do is retweet that, and then your timeline looks so cool.
Right.
Looks so fucking cool when
normie
you do
trad
that.
Norms don't understand our King of the Hill
fucking
stuff.
Fucking chud idiot.
I don't think you understand it.
It seems like you're thinking too much into King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I was falling asleep yesterday thinking about how memes in general have probably ruined human communication for
memes
ever. Yeah, yeah. Memes and GIFs. Because think about how easy it is, instead of expressing yourself or even trying to make a unique joke, you just go, well, how I feel is Cuba Gooding Jr. in Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny. It looks hilarious. He's, I forget, running around with a towel around his waist. I don't remember. But you know
right.
what I mean? You can just, you don't need to conjure up the words. You can just take a grab from media and go about your day.
Yeah, I mean, this used to drive me insane, and I've try to like push it down, but it just keeps getting worse and worse. When I first started seeing people do that, where you just take something that's already funny, mm-hmm. so something literally from like a TV show or a comedy film, and then you just write big mood on it, or current mood, or me after I eat a big meal, and then that blows up, and you go like, and people look at the person who tweeted it out as if they did the work, as if they created something, like, and you
the
go like,
screenwriter,
holy shit,
and producer and performer,
right,
of this clip.
This movie had a cinematographer and a script supervisor, and here you are.
You're not John Candy. How dare you? So it is really frustrating. I mean, we've all done it.
Yeah, we used to, like, we would appreciate people who could craft a joke, but now, like, the accolades go to people who can see something and then see something that's similar and then write same vibes, or what is that? What is that one?
I don't know, but
you know what I'm talking about? Like,
same
energy.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So it's like, it's a different part of your brain, something that I also like don't have access to. My brain doesn't think that way, so I'm never gonna, that's also what annoys me about it, I'm never gonna come up with the funny.
The same energy meme is a little more creative because you have to do your own research and comparison, you know, rather than you know.
I'm just saying it's a different thing, like it's like now you're just like looking at images and you've already got the punchline in your head though.
Yeah,
like, the punchline is big mood, same energy, that face when you fill in the blank.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Another different aspect of it that's really bleak is the sort of trivialization of life and in general. Like, something big could happen. Like, the economy could totally crash, and you'll see fucking Lord of the Rings gifs and Mean Girls, and it's so strange.
Why can't my life be serious for 1 second?
I don't know if I'm advocating for that. It's just like from a total, I guess, like, just I'm just observing just from that perspective. It's just odd.
Yeah,
I'm not condemning it, I guess.
Well, it's lowbrow. It's like easy. People aren't writing things and not having conversations. They're just like kind of spamming each other with images.
Yeah.
Also, like, you talk about trivializing shit. This Bernie Sanders meme. Yeah. I mean, it was funny, you know, but didn't it drive you a little bit insane?
It made me almost cry. Actually, I posted a picture with him, so like I'm as guilty as anybody
else. Me too.
Else.
I posted him on the casting couch.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because he's fucking, but you know, we've all seen it. He looks funny. But,
and it's like a love, it's like a, you know, we love you type of thing.
Yeah, but there's so many layers to that too, where it's like, oh, now you guys fucking love Grandpa Bernie. Mm-hmm. Now you're big fans.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, you know, why does he look funny there? Mm-hmm. Because he's at an event and he still appears to be, he's at the biggest event happening in the world at that moment, and he still appears working class. You know, he's wearing the mittens that a school teacher gave him, you know, and unapologetically, you know,
didn't think twice about it,
right?
They're
and then
practical, they're warm.
That school teacher is now able to auction off other mittens to make a living for herself. And
is that a fact? Or oh, that's really nice.
And the fact that Bernie took that meme and put it on sweatshirts, charged $45 a sweatshirt, and then gave all the profits to, like, I forget what
meals
it was.
On
like
wheels.
Meals on wheels. Shit like that. You just every aspect of it makes you think, like, that should be the president. That should be the fucking president.
That's what was heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And then for all the people who shit on Bernie, or like were like Elizabeth Warren stans or loved Hillary and shit, to be sharing this thing and like, oh, look, he's with, you know, NWA in the meme or whatever. It's like, fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not cute.
Right.
It's not a cute thing that Joe Biden is the president and the guy that should be president isn't. Because, you know,
can you imagine Bernie being sworn in with those mittens?
Yeah, it'd be great.
the way they would decorate the White House with like homemade Christmas ornaments on the tree, like hand turkeys and stuff.
Their,
like, grandchildren's artwork.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Anyway,
the like the news networks that never speak his name, never dare talk about him, are all doing like these human interests. Like, you know, when the anchor their whole energy changes because they're going from like a serious story to mm-hmm. like, now we got a fun one for you.
Remember this old guy?
Fucking man. Yeah, remember this guy?
What's his name again? Anyway, he wore mittens.
He's
to
like
the
somebody's
eggnog.
Dad or something.
Oh God. Yeah, it was I had like it was a bittersweet moment when all that happened because everybody fucking loves him because he's cute and he's wholesome. There's like this genuine energy about him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I don't know.
Just he's sitting there looking like a regular guy.
Yeah.
Who cares about things.
Which is all
like his family and
goddamn
shit.
Goddamn what.
And then we cut to fucking Katy Perry singing in front of the Washington Monument.
So many fireworks.
Billions of fireworks. Like
a dangerous amount of fireworks.
Did you know if they didn't shoot off those fireworks, we could all get our $2,000 checks? We would have gotten them, but they spent it all on those fireworks.
They blew out the fireworks budget, yeah. And now we don't get stimulus checks.
Right.
They
spent the remaining money printing Harriet Tubman on $20 bills.
Yeah, that was really funny. You pointed that out. This is what the $20 bills look like. You can't have them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've updated what they look like.
What do you want? You can have one or the other. You can have a black woman on the money,
mm-hmm.
or you can be racist and have your $2,000.
You're like,
which one do you want? Fine.
Keep it.
Won't be racist.
I felt like crying watching that too. I didn't watch the inauguration night festivities,
dude. It
I'm
was
gonna be honest. I didn't know that that was
nuts.
A thing. I thought he puts his hand on the Bible, says, "Sure, I'll be the fucking president," and that's it.
No, it's like John Legend and Justin Timberlake singing and like Katy Perry and
yeah, I watched
Demi Lovato
afterward.
And like a spaceship and like it was crazy.
Oh my
Bruce
God.
Springsteen on the Lincoln Monument Memorial?
Memorial? I don't know. No monument. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I think monument. Yeah, when I watched that afterwards, I don't know what was I was feeling very emotional that day, but for not hopeful reasons. Watching all those fireworks while Katy Perry...
Oh, yeah, it really fucked me up.
...sings
I had to do it at work. I had to put it on the air.
A song for, like, preteens to get through middle school.
Right.
It's like, do you ever feel like a plastic bag? It's like, why are we playing this for the president?
I gotta say, I've been through a lot in my life. Never felt like a plastic bag. Not even once.
I don't think I have. That's weird. Am I missing out on something?
I remember that song came out and like everybody heard the first, do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Yeah.
And it was a laughing stock. And now yeah. here it is being sung.
It for the president of the United
fucking
States.
The national anthem or something.
Yeah.
You know?
This Why land is your
Katy,
land.
Katy Perry. Is she getting paid? That's what I want to know.
Of course.
With our fucking money?
With our fucking
tax dollars?
Money. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, we personally, we're going to get charged.
We're paying her rent on that monastery. She yeah. killed all those nuns to take over.
We talked about that on the podcast, right?
I think so.
Damn. God, I can't remember. I can't remember my entire life. Anything that's happened
Katy
before
Perry
right now.
Katy Perry murdered a fleet of nuns to take over their monastery.
One of those nuns' last words were like, Katy Perry, please stop.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is so funny. Oh, I felt like crying watching all yeah. the fireworks. I don't feel like we're doomed. I just feel like even worse. Like nothing that bad's going to happen. Just life is never going to be good.
Well, the feeling of like, okay, you see Bruce Springsteen, you're like, I'd rather he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, there's Bruce Springsteen, American.
Yeah.
You know, to his core.
That's
like I saw him
I
at the
hop on that propaganda train. I like Bruce
I
Springsteen.
Saw him at the Izod Center.
Yeah.
And he stopped the concert halfway through to say, like, this building used to be named after a fucking person. Now it's named after a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then he
yeah.
went back into his
and
music
like,
and you're
yeah.
like, ah, at least he yeah. I mean, who knows? Deep down in his heart, maybe he's a corporate piece of shit, but he seems like a stand up guy, right?
He is yeah, sorry, you
he
go
means,
ahead.
He means something,
will.
You know?
Yeah.
So you watch he was the first one to sing and you go like and there was nobody there because it's, you know, COVID. So he's just mm-hmm. standing on those steps singing to nobody. You're like, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then it starts ramping up, getting into Bon Jovi. And Bon Jovi's singing like, here comes the sun or whatever. And you're like, yeah. this is weird. And then by the
watch
time.
Watch that video, by the way, if you get a chance. Watch Bon Jovi singing Here Comes the Sun at the inauguration, Ian pointed out that he does these like Bon Jovi moves that are inappropriate to the song.
Right, right. He's still like an 80s idol, so he's singing this acoustic song and like gyrating his hips and shit. It's great. But once you get into like Demi Lovato and Katy Perry and Justin Timberlake, these people are like phonies. They're fake. They're shiny. They're plastic. Their songs are written by other people. You know, they're a conglomerate of... They have like... I don't know. You feel like they do like focus groups to find out what kind of music and what kind of shirts they should wear or whatever, you know? Are they hip hop? What's in right now? And you can feel it. Like if you're an authentic person, you can tap your foot along with a pop song now and then, but you can't accept it as a like worldview because it's shallow. You know, a lot of times it's written by Swedish people who barely know English. That's why all those boy band songs don't make any sense, like logically, you know, lyrically.
Yeah.
Hit Me Baby One More Time is nonsense. It's gibberish because it's written by a couple of Swedish guys. But like, that's what this presidency feels like. And especially when you pair them together, like this is fake and this is fake. All this is, you know, what we're putting in front of you. Joe Biden slowly rubbing the small of his wife's back and just like looking at the fireworks. It's like, I don't feel good about any of this. I never felt like a plastic bag, and I don't relate to this big tooth fucking monster.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the, what I was saying before. It doesn't feel doomed, which would almost feel better. Like when Trump was president, you're like, oh, this fucking sucks, but it was proactive.
Yeah,
this is like, oh, life is gonna be consistently no good forever. Like there's just, it's just devoid of hope.
Right. You said doomed. It reminds me of playing Doom in the game Doom. You're running around murdering, you know, demons, but there's all these, at some point there was some kind of like New World Order thing going on where like a corporation owned this lab or something.
Yeah.
So these holograms of these like women keep popping up and be like, all demonic forces, please line up.
And I remember that.
And she's
that
got this big smile and shit.
Terrifying.
And it's like,
yeah,
it's like a shopping mall type of vibe. That's what this feels like. You know, the whole world is ending, but you got Katy Perry, you know, she's shiny. She's lip syncing. They put makeup on her and it's going to be okay. You know? You're not a plastic bag anymore.
You're not.
Joe Biden's gonna.
He's. I'm gonna
save
first
you.
Thing, listen, man. First thing in the office, nobody's gonna be a plastic bag anymore.
Hey, Jack. So this is not a state of America. And listen, man. Plastic bag.
Feel like a plastic bag.
You ever, hey, Jack. You ever feel like a plastic? Listen.
Hey, man. No more plastic bags.
Fat.
Nope.
This plastic bag. In the wind.
He and Kamala are the Katy Perry and Demi Lovato of the White House.
Oh, I fucking hate Demi Lovato. Have
I
ever said that?
I think everyone does. Demi Lovato hates Demi Lovato. So.
She, if you go on Reddit, you can read like horror stories, like celebrity interactions that were horrible.
Yeah.
There's like a whole subreddit and like Demi Lovato is like every third one.
Really?
Yeah. It's always like, I was 12 and I asked for an autograph and she fucking kicked me in the pussy and then spit on me.
Man, I mean, she's like a, I would say, B-list celebrity, right? Like,
you can tell just by the way she, I don't want to be one of these podcasts where you just like speculate on
celebrities. We're not above that.
But you just, the way she interacts with people and moves through the world, she just thinks she's the shit. Because she's got a good voice.
How could she possibly think that?
You know?
She sucks.
She sucks so bad.
She's awful.
Yeah.
This week on Killing.
Yeah, kill yourself. Demi Lovato. Get back into heroin. Shoot it in
Wish
your eye.
I don't know what that's. Was she doing heroin?
Yeah, wasn't she into heroin?
She's got her own problems.
Yeah, not enough.
Let's leave her alone. Can you imagine if she's a huge fan of this podcast?
Good. Maybe she'll heed our advice and kill herself.
Don't do it.
No, last week we said the president should die.
No, stop saying we.
You are complicit. You know that.
No,
when you married me, you took on
anybody.
Common law married.
No, that's not a thing in New York, I don't think. And we're not even close to being common law.
I don't want
to
get into this with you right now. We've been over this a million times.
We're not.
It's not a discussion I want to have
on
air.
We're not common law married.
We'll talk about it later.
I don't want to talk about it.
What else?
Anyway, Demi Lovato.
What else did you write
big
down?
Fan. I wrote, okay, that was that Orwellian? Is that how we? Okay, check Orwellian off. The next one, oh, interesting. I don't know if we actually want to talk about this. Maria Bamford versus Patton Oswalt's political trajectory.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because there was like, there are all these, you know, you've seen them, Twitter celebrities who are like, it, like who's the bitch who did lip syncing of Trump? Sarah Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
There's like a bunch of those, you know, where it's just like non-comedy, but somehow like really appeals to a certain demographic.
Yeah. Oh, I just found out who Randy Rainbow
is. Right, right. This is why we got into this. Yeah. Randy Rainbow.
Wow.
So Randy Rainbow will just be like, Mr. Orange, why don't you Cheeto your ass back to Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah.
Because Daddy Biden's here. He's like gay. He's a gay guy.
Yeah. And it feels like a joke, but people love it. Like a joke that it would even be popular, but people really do like it. I truly feel so blessed that I for 4 years I don't know how I missed this. He's like,
because you're not fucking 70
popular.
Years old.
Wild. Anyway,
yeah, who didn't somebody tweet out like, oh, somebody tweeted out like, we they should get like the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah,
for,
we owe them a check or something. Which
this is
like, by the way, they're
Rainbow and Sarah Cooper.
Yeah, Randy Rainbow and Sarah Cooper. We owe them so much for getting us through the past 4 years. They're eating money for breakfast right now. They're fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think, how you think this works, but they are just shitting out gold coins.
Right.
Anyway,
Patton Oswalt retweeted. Was it Rodney? Roddy?
Randy.
Randy Rainbow. And I have a weird relationship with Patton Oswalt because I think he's one of the greatest stand-up comedians that ever lived, like especially his early albums, especially Werewolves and Lollipops. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some bits on there that are just like fucking mind-blowing. And every time I return to them, they're so fucking funny, funnier than anything that's happening right now. And he was such a little cunt. Like, that was part of it. He was like a curmudgeon, you know?
I love
and
that. It's my favorite. It's
yeah,
my favorite,
favorite type of comedy, right?
Yeah.
Little
shits.
Kekistanis.
Yeah.
Little Pepes. I'm getting really into Pepes lately.
Don't.
Rare Pepes.
Please don't. We called Iggy a rare Pepe last night. Yeah. We're like, Iggy, are you a rare Pepe? She was being a rare
Pepe. Yeah,
she was
being a rare Pepe.
Okay.
When I was a kid, there was this show called The Comedians of Comedy on Comedy Central, and I just found it on YouTube. You couldn't find it for so long. Mm-hmm. They did a special, a Netflix special, and you could find that.
Yeah.
But the show you couldn't find. And the crew was Brian Posehn, Patton Oswalt, Maria Bamford, and then half of the show had Zach Galifianakis. And this is when they were like, not kids, but like,
Late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. Zach Galifianakis is like a homeless person, you know? He's just like a weird...
He wears an upside down visor.
Yeah.
And like,
he has a bus that he like lives in, I think.
Yeah.
He gets all his clothes from like Goodwill and they don't fit. And he's always like on the side of the roads for some reason. But this show followed them on a tour and it's like, it's sketches... And it's just like day-to-day life and it's live performances and it's them going to radio stations and it is so good. It's so funny. And they're all such little cunts. And Patton Oswalt is like their leader. He's like the biggest.
He's the shittiest of all.
Maria Bamford is like the kid sister.
Uh-huh.
And but now he's like this neo-lib, at least online. Like I watched a live thing he did recently and he's still funny and great. But I think it comes with moving to LA. I think it comes with having a kid and you just kind of want to like settle down and not ruffle anybody's feathers and just like, status quo. Here I am, you know, let me fit in.
Yeah. I think it's one part. It's in his best interest financially to not piss anybody off.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten that far where it was like, I can't imagine the network connections he's got now where he's like, I better not say anything. But yeah, I think he was so full of rage when he was younger and he hated everything. And it was probably like, as he
exhausting,
got older.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think he was like, why am I like this? And then now he's just like trying to go in the other direction, but he's super rich and he doesn't feel like a person anymore.
He could just shut up,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He could just make an album every few years. But yeah, you're right, because you go like, I need to let go of some of this anger and aggression. I'm going to start doing yoga. I'm going to go to like one of these group therapy things. I'm going to really lean into the LA way of living. And maybe you do become a little bit more relaxed, but you're also like giving up on some, I don't know, convictions almost.
Right.
And now you're starting to become like part of the problem a little bit, which is just like a voice in the choir of status quo nothingness.
Yeah, it's just like, he's gotten so far where it's like, it's fine if you don't want to be shitty anymore. That's fine. But he's gone totally in the other direction where he can wish Hillary Clinton a happy birthday and say Shane Gillis belongs in jail in the same tweet somehow.
Did he do that?
I'm exaggerating, but I think he did.
See, I never know where he stands, because like, he will say some goofy shit and then you'll see him on like a Legion of Skanks podcast or something.
Really?
You know? He made a video for Lewis.
Okay.
When Lewis was like running for mayor of Legion of Skanks.
I'm pretty sure he chimed in on the Shane Gillis.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I don't doubt it, but like, and you see it all the time and you're just like, dude, what the fuck? And to your point, like Maria Bamford isn't as obnoxious. She's definitely like a hippy dippy, love everybody, liberal. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't do this stuff that Patton Oswalt does, where he's like...
Well, Patton Oswalt feels like he...
That's the tweet.
He pulled the rug out from under us. That's why it's so strange.
Yeah.
We know you weren't like this before, so it feels disingenuous. With Maria Bamford, it reminds me of Sarah Silverman. They're just sweethearts. And so it's like, in my opinion, a little bleeding heart, like a little... misses the mark sometimes, I don't know how to phrase it except for calling it like kumbaya bullshit sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's who she is. It at least feels genuine and she's kind.
Yeah, sometimes when you're like that, you can't see people who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. You just kind of take everything in face value. This person is a good person, where maybe they're kind of manipulating people's worldviews in order to get ahead.
Right.
So that's where maybe somebody like Maria Bamford or Sarah Silverman falls short.
Yeah, and if that's the worst they do,
yeah,
fine.
Fuck it.
I mean, I still admire how like wholesome they are.
Yeah, and their gift to the world is their wholesomeness.
Yeah.
Being accepting and happy. The only thing I'll say that bugs me a little bit is that Sarah Silverman was really edgy back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, always talking about the Holocaust and shit like that.
Right.
And I feel like she's backed away from that a little bit. Not that she's even put out a special in a long time, but
at least she's strange though. Cause she like, she always played in that edgy realm in a way that it was like nothing stuck to her.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean,
who me? It never felt like an attack. She's just like,
right.
Did I say that?
I'm a character.
Yeah.
But if you're smart, that's how you do that stuff. And so, don't get older and think that your younger self was stupid. You knew what you were doing back then.
Also, she doesn't condemn, as far as I know, she doesn't go out of her way to condemn people for language like that, especially when it's clearly somebody playing around with humor.
There's been a few times where I've rolled my eyes at something that Sarah Silverman said, but it's not very often, and it must not have been that offensive because I can't remember what it was. Same with Maria Bamford.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue is here, or if there is one. I just we noticed it when watching young Patton Oswalt, how he's changed. You ever see somebody comment on a celebrity's post like, oh, can we not get political right now? And it's like, they can say whatever they want, that's fine. It feels like an inauthentic sort of a facade with yeah. with Patton Oswalt.
Well, I don't know. It feels like the world is kind of draped in this like phoniness, and that and every a lot of people kind of just embrace it. You know, mm-hmm. there's the good guys and there's the good guys and the bad guys. Yeah. And you know, we got to get the neo-Nazi out of the White House so that the good guys can finally get back in. And can you believe that a woman of color is the vice president? All this mm-hmm. stuff that's just window dressing while we're, you know, going to war, endless war, and like trying to take over Venezuela and on and on, you know, yeah. everybody's poor. The middle of the country looks like a fucking ghost town, shit like that. And the people that you grew up thinking were the most authentic and the most like sharp and perceptive.
Yeah.
You know, that start to like kind of fade into that tapestry of nonsense, of phoniness.
Yeah,
it upsets you. It's all Twitter. I mean, it's right. all fucking Twitter, because there every thought they ever had is right there. And if you watch like the last couple of Patton Oswalt specials, which weren't his best, but he's still giving it to you, like, hey liberals, maybe consider this. And right. then he'll say something that's like, well, fucking that's great.
Yeah.
But then I go onto your Twitter and you seem to be like the ultimate LA dad.
Right.
It's something about fucking being rich and living in California. It really fucks your brain up.
It changes people. It does. And I think the only problem for me, or for most of us, is he's one of the greatest comedic writers of all time. And he's irreverent. And that was his thing.
Yeah.
And he became precious.
Right.
And that's so heartbreaking. He just threw it all away. That's just gone now because he's like a sweetheart. Fuck that.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Nobody can do what you're doing. We need you to spit acid and kind of show people why they're obnoxious right. and annoying.
And now is the time. Now it's more difficult now, because like back when George Bush was president and we were like a Republican country, mm-hmm. you got to punch up and go after the, you know, the mainstream and be an alt comic,
yeah.
and travel around as if you're in a punk band, you know, yeah. with your crew of misfits. But now that the status quo is kind of neo-lib,
yeah.
To punch at that is more difficult, you know, and takes more balls. And maybe
people
it's because you're
like it, yeah,
because you're not young anymore and you have a family, and that's what you know, you where you want to spend all your time. You don't even want to put the energy into doing it. It just it sucks for the rest of us, because it's yeah. like, then just fucking go away,
right?
Just leave me alone.
Just stop.
Yeah, just let me watch the old videos of you putting your feet up on the table at a radio station and just giving yeah. shit to the
like
goofy
making fun
DJs.
Of them to their face.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to Gary in the Morning. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is so fucking stupid. He was such a shitbag. It reminds me of the feeling of in like a zombie movie where your loved one comes back and for a second it's them again, and then you realize you have to kill them because they're a monster.
Oh, yeah.
He's alive technically, but he's
we put a gun to his head.
We're just like, Pat, I'm sorry.
He starts saying midget again. We're like, no.
No.
No, it's me. Midget.
We're like, no, Demon Pat, you can't trick me. Well, what? Okay, so we've gotten to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
What is the bottom of that? Nothing. It's
nothing.
Just,
nothing is anything.
Do you think? I guess I'm wondering if he's just genuinely changed, or you think he's just performing for the people who write the checks.
I think, I think he had a daughter and it changed yeah. his life completely, and he doesn't want to be this guy anymore. So he goes like, if I have to give up, you know, if my blood pressure will lower so I can be yeah. around longer for my daughter. Also, my fucking wife died.
Yeah,
I've been through a lot.
Through
I don't
want to,
on top
tragedy.
Of that, pile just the stress of being like mad and angry at the world. I yeah. think that's what happened.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's like good for him, but bad for
it's
me.
Like,
so
right?
I hate him. I hope he dies.
It's like, do you die of a fucking stroke because you're so stressed out?
You die a hero, or live long enough to see yourself.
Or live long enough to retweet Hillary Clinton.
Fuck. You die a Bernie bro.
Wish Michelle Obama a happy birthday.
Wonderful.
What else is on our list here? Akira.
All right.
No, thank you.
Worst That's your microphone now.
I've ever seen in my life. I can't even talk about Akira because my eyes were looking at the screen for 3 hours.
Yeah, it got a little messy.
I don't know what the fuck happened.
Akira is an animated anime movie that I always thought looked interesting. It's from the 80s. I mean, it looks beautiful.
Is it
but
anime?
It gets boring. What?
Anything that's Japanese and animated, is that anime? Or is anime a specific...
If I had to guess, I would say it's anything that's Japanese and animated, but it's like all going to look like that because that's just how they do it.
So Hello Kitty's anime.
But if they started drawing, I don't know if they started drawing like Marvel comic style and animated that, if that would also be anime just because it's made in Japan. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I couldn't tell you. You know what it reminded me of? Those old G.I. Joe cartoons or like Inspector Gadget, that weird 90s style animation that I hate. Just
you
remind
don't like it?
Me of like bland procedural cartoons.
Bland procedural CSI Miami, the cartoon.
It was fucking dry. I mean, it wasn't. It was insane, but I couldn't follow.
Yeah, it just got... Sometimes the Japanese tell stories differently, and sometimes it's just too much of a culture shock.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe
what I mean?
The translation is never perfect.
Yeah, definitely the translation.
Yeah.
But just like as far as narratives go, like they're not following the like hero's journey, it doesn't feel like a lot of times. Feels like it just like ramps up and then act one is just chaos all the way to the end.
Yeah.
You know, here are the characters, nonsense all the way to the big explosion.
But it's just like different nonsense per act. So I was like, I cannot keep up with this.
Even something like Spirited Away, like how, that movie is all over the map as far as storytelling is concerned.
It is.
I mean, it's great.
That one, I don't know what makes it different that you can follow along
easily. It's so stimulating. There's so much stuff going on.
I watched half of Kiki's Delivery Service the other day.
Yeah.
It was wacky and also kind of boring.
I kind of want to watch the Little Mermaid one.
Ponyo? Yeah. That's the first one I saw.
Was it good?
Of his. I don't remember.
People, you know, I want to get into this stuff because it's like the new thing that everybody loves.
What?
Anime.
Is it? Oh,
I mean, not
no.
new thing, but like the kids fucking love it.
Well,
and when I was young, I always thought it was like, I mean, it was super nerdy.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched Dragon Ball Z and shit, but it seemed like there was like a, I don't know, when we were younger, there was a lot more restraints on socially
like,
who you could be, I think.
Yeah, I really think there was a huge stigma to
There's
anime.
All kinds of stigmas that don't exist anymore.
That's great.
It's like, be whoever the fuck you want, you know?
Right.
Get a Pokemon tattooed on your face.
Do it.
Do
get,
it.
Get
no,
Anne
do
Frank
it.
Tattooed on your face.
She never existed.
No, that's not one of those.
That was
that's
the other
Helen
one.
Keller.
Sure.
He had...
What? They were both Jewish.
Helen Keller... God, I don't want to... Let's move on. Let's move on.
I like this. They have talking points.
Okay,
this is
next one. Mazes and Monsters.
Okay. We're just going, now we're just doing stuff we watched.
The rest of this is stuff we watched. Oh, fuck. We watched so much wacky shit this week that's worth talking about.
I have some stuff. Okay, well, if you want to talk about stuff we watched, we can do that.
We could skip Mazes and Monsters if you want.
Mazes and Monsters is a movie. It's a made-for-TV movie from the 80s starring...
Tom Hanks. It's anti-Dungeons and Dragons propaganda, allegedly.
Yeah, I guess there was this big, you know, it's so funny. Like, back in the day, parents were afraid of video games, Dungeons and Dragons, instead of, like, opioids and, you know, being recruited by the Proud Boys or whatever.
They had it so good. They're afraid that their children were LARPing as, like, mages.
Yeah.
Like...
What's Satan?
Fuck
Satan
you.
Is such a... when you're afraid of Satan, you know things are going well, you know? Because he had to make up something to be afraid of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they all thought, you know, it was going to turn kids into Satan worshippers. Kiss, the band Kiss, that's another one.
Oh, really?
Well, all those guys, you know, Alice Cooper.
Wow.
But yeah, Mazes and Monsters was like a... I thought it was going to be... wackier than it was, but it's a made-for-TV movie about these kids who play basically Dungeons and Dragons, and one of them goes insane.
Yeah, which is, I mean, people have said it's propaganda against Dungeons and Dragons, which I guess they're like exploring that kind of fear. But if it really was, then all the kids who were playing the game would have gone insane.
Yeah, Tom Hanks just has schizophrenia.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking at the end. He's like, should I spoil
what does he
it?
Say? What does he say at the end?
Oh, God.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Where am I?
Why can't I remember? Yeah, he made some weird choices. He wanders into the New York City subway and finds a homeless man, and he thinks he's like Merlin or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, good sir, can you show me where the two towers are? And he's like, yeah. Twin towers.
First, I'm going to rape you. That was a weird part.
That's how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
So
we watched that. Yeah. I would say don't watch it.
Oh, yeah. It's not worth it. Although,
it's kind of good, though.
One cool part.
Because I thought it was going to be like we get to watch the hysteria around, because we've been reading that book, Hate Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, they were talking about waves of hysteria that come into the culture, yeah. like video games, like Dungeons and Dragons. So I was like, and then they mentioned the movie. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch this, because I thought it was going to be like Reefer Madness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a straight ahead.
It's boring. It's yeah. really boring. I just wanted to bring up the bird. I think there's a bird whose actual name is Merlin.
Yeah.
And when they say, what do you think, Merlin? Merlin goes, birds can't talk.
Yeah.
And that's a great gag. So maybe it is worth it just for that.
Just for that. But I think you just got it.
Yeah. That's a really
It's clearly
good
just
Merlin
a guy
impression.
Off
Yeah.
off screen.
Birds can't talk.
What?
I have something to say.
Okay,
I want to yell about
it?
Women.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Satanism, I keep forgetting that we're technically Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes my Church of Satan membership card will come out of my like Kate Spade wallet. And I'll be like, oops, sorry. Can I have that back? Thank you.
Do you have a discount for Satanists? Are you in Satan's army?
People really are.
Are you
weird.
A knight in Satan's army?
Do you remember showing that to somebody at a comedy show and they were afraid to touch it?
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I mean, he's a nice guy, but
no,
yeah.
Fuck him.
No,
I went directly home and cast a spell.
No,
yeah,
but it
now
is,
he has no arms or legs.
That was my. I
used to be rolled around on a skateboard.
I went to Catholic school for, like 18 years, I think, whatever kindergarten through college is. And that was like my biggest fear for a while.
Satan?
Like demons and being possessed by the devil. At least until I was like, you know, hit puberty. But like when I was really young, that shit terrified me. I would stay up all night. Like I would watch these ghost shows, and at 3 a.m. it's like the witching hour, because it's the opposite time from when Jesus died or rose from the dead at 3 p.m.
So
like 3 a.m. is when the
so
devil's
stupid.
Like, la 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 la, it's my time, bitches.
I'm opposite Jesus. Yeah. Everything Jesus does, I do the opposite of.
So at 3 a.m. if I was still awake, I'd be terrified that I was like demons were gonna come fuck with me.
Come fuck you?
Yeah, that too.
See, I don't have any of that, so I just think demons are cool.
Yeah.
Just, I was
yeah,
watching,
like
I showed you
that
this.
Baphomet statue home, that giant Baphomet that we
uh-huh.
have, which when the exterminator comes, I always hide.
Really? You're so embarrassed of our culture.
Whenever I have Zoom meetings, I'm like, okay, let's put the demon statue away.
Yeah, and you
and this old,
move all the skulls.
This old man Halloween prop.
Friedrich.
I'm going to put Friedrich
I know,
away.
I come home and everything's turned over.
You know, it's just for my coworkers' comfort and my own. But you were just talking about demons?
I showed you that TikTok that really broke my heart of this. Somebody's like, tell me the moment you thought your kid was psychotic.
Oh, yeah.
And then it cuts to this woman. She's like, my son got expelled from school for these drawings. As you can see here, he's very good at drawing. It's like, but then things started getting weird. And then like she starts showing drawings of like monsters, and then like a skull with like blood coming out of the eyes, and then like hooks and stuff.
It's really cool. Yeah.
And she was like, we took him to, now he's in therapy and he's getting better. And it's like, if you're a little boy who draws and you like don't draw six, right? monsters, you're not a little boy who draws. That's just what you fucking do. And the drawings were great. And like the comments at least made me feel better, because they're like, he could have grown up to done like makeup for monster movies, or you know, designed whatever CGI aliens or something. And like, that's just what you do.
You pointed out how detrimental that is by just showing a kid that what he's doing is bad. Like, if the adults are horrified and then they take him to therapy, he's always going to associate that now with,
right,
I'm doing something wrong.
That's his hobby shot.
Yeah.
And they show, and then his mom made a follow-up video like, I don't really think he's psychotic, but you guys need to shut up because he's going to therapy now. And they showed the little boy, and the boy was like 3. So the kid is like 3 years old, and he's drawing very well. Yeah. Like, the drawings are really good for like a 7-year-old, you know? And now hear that fucking hobby's down the drain. Like, he's not going to pick up a pen and start drawing butterflies, because that's not what little boys think about.
Yeah.
They think about monsters. They draw the fucking monsters, and then later you'll draw the hero that slays the monster. It's not like, I want to resurrect a fucking corpse and then have sex with it or something. You know what I mean?
Parents have seen too many movies.
Here's the thing about monsters. They don't fucking exist, so it doesn't matter how many of them you draw. You know what I mean? You can worship a monster all goddamn day. Nothing's going to happen, and it does not matter.
The adults are not all right, I think.
So, it's so like lame.
They're acting like children. They're afraid of fictional creatures.
It felt very like 1980s D&D hysteria.
Right. I don't know.
Can I say my thing about fucking women?
Oh, yeah. What do you have to... But you love women so much. I'm surprised.
I love one woman.
And that's you, buddy.
It's Iggy. That's nice. That's good. Good for you. I'm glad.
Can you get the fuck off me?
Oh, she got all excited. She reminds me of like a creepy, horny guy in a bar. Because if you accidentally make eye contact, you're like, oh, no, 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 no. He's coming over. He's coming over.
Oh, no, no.
He's licking my face.
Okay, get off. I was watching the news, and I see this so often now, where they do these stories, like long stories, where they go, coronavirus is affecting women at an alarming rate, way much more. And like, and this news anchor was like, of course, yet again, another thing we have to deal
with. Thanks, patriarchy.
Right. And it's like, and then they'll have all these experts on talking about how women are losing their jobs because a lot of them work in childcare and in like, you know, I don't know, nursing homes or whatever, you know, a lot of like one-on-one stuff you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
And how financially this has been hard on them. And every time they do this segment, I'm like, am I crazy? And I Google it again. Men are dying 2.5 times more in some places, not everywhere, but in some states, 2.5 times more. No state are they dying more or less than women.
You guys are dying a lot. Welcome to being a woman. Okay, men.
Do you know how, you know the emotional labor it takes to plan a funeral for your husband, your father, your brother, your nephew?
Yeah, how selfish of him to die of coronavirus.
I couldn't believe it. It was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Why is it all, why you always got to do this?
Well, we are reading Hate Inc., right? And once you know that the machine sort of is oiled by our rage and competition against each other, and how we're all...
Yeah, it's not women. I'm not mad at women. I'm mad at the people that are this is a narrative people will buy into and will, you know... Technically it's true, because the men are dead. So it is harder on the living women, you know? So you're not reporting a lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so funny. These are things that we probably would have. The world is impossible to satire anymore. It has gone so far, because this is something we would have joked about, I think, at the beginning of the pandemic, that we, in the only time, I can't think of another time where we could and should come together more than right now.
Yeah.
No matter what our differences are. But people are going, well, actually, we're dying more of it. So we're the winners of this group. We're on top. And then you guys can be number two. But just know that we're in first place when it comes to this.
Yeah, exactly.
With the global pandemic. I say, okay, I'm glad we're doing
right,
this.
Right. Never mind.
Why hasn't it gotten me yet?
Ugh. And then the other thing was that same broadcast, they came back from commercial and they did a story on women who are catfishing, like Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys and stuff, who went to the Capitol with their like Bumble apps and their Tinders, and then reporting the guys to the FBI.
This makes no sense to me. How are you?
You're like, you reach out to somebody and then you like get proof. You're like, prove to me you were there. And then they send a picture and then you send it off to the FBI. And I guess like...
So you were like, honeypot, like pretend that you're into it. You're like, no way.
Yes,
you were
yeah.
really at the Capitol. That's so hot. Okay.
Right. And I guess that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the women they interviewed bug me so much. They're just like, and because I'm hot, they'll do it. And men will do literally anything to have sex with me. And I'm just, oh, what did this one woman say? She said, before this, I was doing a lot of activism on Twitter. So this is just a natural progression for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just don't fucking like you.
Yeah.
Snitching ass bitch.
Yeah, I don't condone anybody who stormed the Capitol, but I also don't love a snitch, so it's kind of a draw for me there. It's hard to get around the fact that you're the main story here is about how seductive you are.
Right.
How...
And then the story just like tumbled into toxic masculinity and and then another like throwaway line. I remember because I was like texting it to you as I was watching it. Another throwaway line. Somebody's like, and women are already experiencing, had already been experiencing like all kinds of harassment, horrible things on dating apps.
Hmm.
I was like, what?
No,
the dick pics or something.
Wait, you used the phrase they were already like, man,
discriminated against or something.
No, it was like underappreciated or something.
Yeah.
Where I was like, that's not it. That's certainly not.
It's really bizarre. I don't know.
I saw somebody tweet that story. Some girl retweeted that women are catfishing the Capitol rioters with the gif on top of Mean Girls. And it said, get in, loser. We're going hunting. And I was like, uh-oh. Everyone really thinks that life is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary. Because there's too many movies going on and nobody's...
Well, yeah. In the culture of narcissism, they talk about how like people are now behaving. This is an old book from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about how even back then people were behaving as if they're being filmed at all times.
Yeah.
So they're all, you're always performing to an imaginary audience. And I mean, if they were talking about it back then, now it's got to be
tenfold.
Yeah. You're always they say now, the kids say, are you the main character? That's what they're always saying.
Everyone, I think... really thinks they're in a movie.
Yeah. How to know if you're the main character or not. And what does that mean? You have to actively try to be the main character. So you're performing as if you're more important
and
interesting.
That's really tragic, I think. Because I don't think I'm even 100% outside of that. Of course,
you can't help it. There are things that we're doing that we don't have any agency over. That's why I always float the idea of running into the woods and trying to get back to being a person, you know?
Because think about how much better life would be every once in a while, and what a burden that is to put on yourself when you're the star of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
When you could just be the audience and enjoy,
or participant, like an active participant, like, you know, I'm not above all these people.
Yeah,
I'm a member of this group.
How about life's a documentary
about
all of us?
About what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah. I don't know. Imagine just like walking to the bathroom and brushing your teeth and
you're imagining
like, there's like a crew.
You're not in a fucking movie. You're not in a documentary. You're not in anything. You're just some fucking person. You know?
Yeah. You're just some fucking person. And that's okay.
Yeah. That's probably good.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's somebody is phony and awful, you know?
That's true. You don't have to worry about, you know, waking up in the morning, washing your face, and then when you look in the mirror, there's a monster behind you. So that's a good thing about not being
Well, that's a specific main character, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You could also be like a boy wizard or...
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. Maybe it would be better to be in a movie.
Okay, well, we did an hour, and that's all. That's what we said we'd do.
Bare minimum. We farted into the mic for an hour.
Really weird doing the podcast now that we kind of made or, you know, come to terms with the fact that we're probably not going to do stand up at least for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so you go like, this is just like a weird correspondence with a handful of people. You know what I mean?
I said this.
And I'm mailing them shit.
Yeah, they didn't even... Oh, if anybody wants a zine that hasn't gotten one and is a Patreon subscriber, email your address.
But if you got hot sauce, I already have your address and I've been sending shit.
Yeah, so look out for that.
Yeah.
Lucky
two listeners are getting a pipe bomb.
Ian, stop! It's not funny!
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
That's funny.
No.
It's not funny. Your reaction is funny. Ian, and the listeners know what I'm talking about.
Life's not a movie. We're going to jail.
My life's a movie. It's a documentary about Ted Kaczynski, and no, I'm playing Ted Kaczynski.
No.
You're getting a bomb.
No.
No, nobody's getting a bomb. This is a comedy podcast.
Okay. Good. Thank God.
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay.
Hail Satan.